You are now listening to the iScript of A Song in My Heart, written by Cindy L. Keller. Faden, Super, Detroit, over a series of photographs. The first statue, Cobo Hall, Motown Building, the Spirit of Detroit statue. Exterior, city street, day. Traffic, automobiles, a bus, taxi cabs, congest the area. People move down the sidewalk in their daily routine. A man in a black cowboy hat sticks out like a sore thumb among the city people. The man is George, a pleasant-looking urban cowboy in his early 20s. Roy, voiceover, southern accent. Meet George Davidson. George gives a tip of his hat to a good-looking, non-observant woman. She passes him by. It doesn't bother him in the least. He walks on, never missing a beat. Exterior, city, overpass, day. A fenced-in walkway crowded with people. A busy expressway beneath it. George enters the walkway. Roy, voiceover. Times are good for George. Halfway into the walkway, a small crowd has gathered. Roy, voiceover. He's one of the lucky ones. He's got a job. George notices the crowd. He moves closer to check out the action. An older man faces off against a shifty-looking punk in a game of three-card Monte on a TV table between them. Some laugh as the gamblers glare at the table. The punk snatches a $5 bill from the table and crams it into his pocket. He looks for the old man's reaction. The old man looks up from the table and looks him in the eye. He shakes his head. Unbelievable. He places another bet. The punk grins. Punk. You gotta win sometime. The punk moves the cards around, shifting them back and forth in an effort to confuse the old man. Lady, lady, where will she be? In the middle? He flips the center card, reveals the 10 of spades. Not this time. He flips over the left card, reveals the queen of diamonds. There she is. Watch her now. He moves the cards around quickly until he is satisfied, then taps the table. Where is she at? The old man points to the center card. A police siren screams out somewhere close by. Man, off screen. The cops! George watches as the crowd dashes off in different directions, leaving the old man staring into the distance. The punk switches the center card with another. The old man turns back to the table. He hasn't seen the switch. You said the middle? The old man nods. He turns over the center card. The 3 of clubs. Not this time. He snatches the money, then turns over the card he had switched it with. There it is, the queen of diamonds. Care to try again? The old man glares at the cards in amazement. He digs deep into his pants pocket. A small crowd begins to gather around them. George shakes his head and walks away. Roy, voiceover. George works in one of those hunky-tunk saloons as an entertainer. Some laughter from those in the crowd. Exterior, cocktail lounge, day. The billboard reads, Now appearing, George Davidson. George opens the door and slips inside the building. Roy, voiceover. There's someone else you should meet. Roy Johnson, a 40-year-old angel in a white suit, tie, steps into view. He's tall, good-looking. He faces the camera and speaks to us. Hello, my name is Roy Johnson, and we, as well as George, will have to take a trip in order to meet her. Roy steps to the side, summons us past him. To the beautiful hills of Kentucky, her home. Series of photographs. A small waterfall. A wooded path. A forest of pine trees. A dirt road in the country surrounded by trees. Exterior, country road, day. Drifting towards a destination, turning onto a dirt drive that borders a lush green lawn. Exterior, house, continuous. A charming country home, oozing with welcome. Moving up the steps that lead to a screen door, the door opens for us. Interior, house, living room, continuous. Drifting into the room, framed 8x10 family photos hang on the wall and welcome us in. Insert photos. A school picture of a teenaged girl wearing a heart-shaped locket. Roy, voiceover. This is my Rebecca, and here's one of her with Nadine, the love of my life. A woman in her 20s cradles a baby girl. The same locket is around her neck. Roy, voiceover. It wasn't long after that Nadine took ill and God called her home. A picture of Rebecca as a teen girl with Roy. She's wearing the locket. Roy, voiceover. I promised Nadine that I would guide Rebecca down the right path. I never dreamed that the right path would split apart, but it did. Back to scene. Roy, dressed in a white suit, turns from the picture. He steps away, vanishes before our eyes. Interior, house, kitchen, day. Sunlight enters through the window. It shines onto a few small potted plants in the windowsill. Roy, voiceover. Like the sun, Rebecca was a bright light, a joyful soul. Rebecca, 17, stands at the sink. Her happy disposition is in full bloom in the sun. She rinses some potatoes. Roy, voiceover. With the voice of an angel. A voice I thought she should share with the world, with Nashville. Roy, 40, sits at the kitchen table. He focuses through glasses to read his newspaper. Roy, voiceover. It was her dream, too, and I had a plan. Rebecca leans on the sink with one foot propped up on her knee. She peels a potato.
You're the song in my heart. You're the light on my face. You're the reason that I found happiness. Happiness.
Insert newspaper ad. Fourth annual talent search, July 8th. Ramey Amphitheater, Louisville, Kentucky. Winner will receive a recording contract with a top Nashville producer. For information, call 555-1215. Roy, voiceover. She would enter the talent contest. The ad blurs. Exterior, park, Roy's daydream, day. A playground with monkey bars, swings. An empty stage in the distance. Exterior, park, stage, Roy's daydream, continuous. Rebecca appears. She stands behind a microphone surrounded by a sea of applause. She takes a bow.
Thank you.
Roy, voiceover. And she would win. A man in a black suit joins Rebecca on stage. Man. And this year's winner is, he smiles, hands her an envelope, Rebecca Johnson. Rebecca appears to be surprised. The applause continues. Interior, Johnson's living room, Roy's daydream, night. Roy sits in a recliner watching television with a huge smile on his face. That's my girl. Roy, voiceover. She would be a star. On the television, Rebecca stands holding a microphone. She smiles as silver confetti drops down around her. Roy, voiceover. If I could just get her to Louisville. Interior, Johnson's house, back to reality, kitchen, day. The blurred ad comes back into focus. Roy circles the ad with a pen. He smiles to himself. This could be it. Roy removes his reading glasses. He gets up from the table and takes the paper to Rebecca. This here's you, baby girl. She reads the ad. Your voice is sweeter than the angels in the heavens. God blessed you with that voice so that you could be heard. Rebecca looks up from the paper with a concerned expression on her face.
It's too far away.
Come on now, girl. It's not that far. We can get you there. I'll drive. Roy looks for her approval. He gives her a nod. She looks back at the ad. Roy opens a cupboard door. He pulls out a bag from inside. I got you something. He has her attention now.
What did you do?
He hands her the bag. She eagerly opens it, pulls out a plain yet pretty cotton dress from inside. She's flabbergasted.
Daddy.
Roy slides over to the phone. He makes a call. Roy, into the phone. Hello? Yeah, I'm calling about the contest. It's for my girl, Rebecca Johnson. Yes. 9 a.m.? That's it? Thank you. We'll be there. Roy hangs up the phone. He smiles with pride. We're all set.
But I never said I wanted to do that.
Rebecca.
We can't go wasting money on a trip for me. The rent's gonna be due.
I want you to listen to me, and I don't want to hear you making any more excuses. The way I see it, this here is a sign from God. He's calling out to you, Rebecca. To you. Leastways, you should answer him.
But, Dad...
And don't you go worrying yourself about the rent. That's my job. Roy smiles at Rebecca. And it's took care of. She eyes him, anticipating the reality. He nods. She squeals with delight, wraps her arms around his neck, and gives him a big hug. Honey, you're gonna shower those people with the sounds of heaven above. Roy kisses Rebecca on her head. She hugs him tighter. The phone rings. Rebecca steps away from Roy. He goes to the phone. She holds the dress up for size, spins around happily. Roy stands with the phone at his ear. Hey there, Phil. Guess where we're going? Exterior Johnson's house, front porch, night. Roy sits in a rocking chair, alone, rocking. He looks up at the sky, a sky full of twinkling stars. Interior, Johnson house, Roy's bedroom, day. Roy closes the door. He moves to a dresser. On top of the dresser is a wedding photo of him and Nadine. Roy lifts the photo, touches her face. I hope I'm doing the right thing, Nadine. Next to the dresser is a small trash can. An open envelope inside it reads, Rent. Exterior, Johnson House, day. Rebecca steps outside wearing her new dress. Roy is two steps behind her in a suit. The two move across the porch and down the steps. Driveway. Roy and Rebecca are about to get into their car when another car pulls up behind them. Inside the car is Phil, a 50-year-old good old boy, and his Bible-toting wife, Irene, 48. Phil.
We come to see you off. It looks like we made it none too soon.
Irene gets out of the car, she eyes Rebecca.
Irene. Look at you. You're so pretty. I reckon the next time we see you, we'll be seeing a superstar.
Rebecca gives her a bashful smile. Roy. Well, that's what we're hoping for. Phil.
Well, Roy, y'all have a good time. Make sure to call when you get back.
Will do. Irene smooths down a stray hair on Rebecca's head, then pulls her close and gives her a hug.
Hey, Irene, time's a-wastin'.
Irene turns to him.
Let these folks get going. They got a long haul ahead of them.
Irene takes a step back.
I'll be praying for you. Thank you, Aunt Irene.
Roy, voiceover. Irene wasn't a real aunt, but she was like family.
I almost forgot. I brought you some fried chicken for the trip.
Irene rushes toward the passenger door. Roy, voiceover. So she didn't mind being called aunt. In fact, she liked it. Rebecca steps to Roy. Roy, that's mighty nice. Phil passes a picnic basket through the open window to Roy. Phil.
See you soon.
Roy nods. They wave goodbye as they back out of the driveway. Roy takes one last look at the house. Rebecca opens the passenger door of Roy's car. Exterior, highway, Kentucky, day. Sandwiched between a wooded area. The sun beats down on Roy's car as they pass a speed limit sign. Insert sign, speed limit, 55 miles per hour. Roy, voiceover. We couldn't have asked for any nicer weather. Interior, Roy's car, continuous. The wind blows Rebecca's hair as she looks out her open window. Roy, voiceover. Rebecca was so excited. She'd never left our town before. We'd been on the road for about an hour when...
Rebecca, this sure is a big old world.
Roy smiles with amusement.
It sure is, and I got a hunch that you're gonna be seeing a whole lot more of it.
Off screen, boom. Roy struggles to steer the vehicle. Something's wrong. Off screen, squealing of tires. Fright strikes across Rebecca's face. She turns from her father, stares out the windshield. Rebecca braces herself back against the seat. Interior, exterior, car, continuous. A tire is blown out on the right front of the Johnson's car. The car leaves the road. Roy, voiceover. Poor Rebecca. The car heads straight toward a tree. Rebecca screams. The gap between them and the tree narrows quickly. Roy, voiceover. There was nothing I could do. A black screen. Off screen, crash. Exterior, cemetery, Kentucky, day. Rebecca stands at a grave dressed in a black dress. She has two red roses in her hand. Roy, voiceover. It was my time to leave. She kneels down, places a rose on each of the side-by-side graves. Rebecca wearily rises to her feet. Roy, voiceover. But I had made a promise to Nadine, and not even death could make me go back on my word to her. I would have to come up with something. Roy, dressed in a white suit, stands next to Phil. He watches Phil step to Rebecca and put his arm around her. They turn from the graves. Exterior, city street, day. Tall buildings, a cloudy gray sky. Super, a few years later, in Detroit. An off-screen car horn beeps. Roy, voiceover.
And yes, I found a way, with a little help from fate.
The street is congested with traffic. A handful of people move around on the sidewalk in their daily routine. Insert street sign, Michigan Avenue. Exterior, city street, night. Insert same street sign, Michigan Avenue. Empty, void of any movement at all. Exterior, cocktail bar, night. The street is empty, no movement at all. Insert billboard, now appearing, George Davidson. Interior, cocktail bar, stage, night. Moving down the path of a spotlight, country blues guitar music plays. George, dressed in black, stands on stage. He belts out a riff on the guitar, puts his heart into it. At the bar, a male customer, 20s, downs his drink. He tosses some paper money on the counter, swivels his stool away from the bar. Phyllis, 50s, the barmaid, stands slouched over the bar, daydreaming. George and Phyllis in opposite ends of the bar with an empty dance floor between them. George ends his song. The silence is deafening. Interior, cocktail bar, night. George moves toward an exit with his guitar case slung across his shoulder. His long ponytail hangs down from below his hat. Exterior, cocktail bar, night. George steps out into misty air. The street is deserted, quiet. Small puddles of rain reflect a lone streetlight. George positions his hat. He moves away from the bar. Exterior, city street, night. The heels of George's cowboy boots tap the concrete as he moves down the sidewalk. George approaches a corner. Off screen, muffled girly laughter comes from close by. Exterior, city street, night. Two drunk hookers, Moni, 21, and Tashonda, 22, laugh as they stumble toward a street corner. Exterior, city street, corner, continuous. Moni and Tashonda collide with George. Moni straightens up quickly. She smiles seductively.
Moni, howdy there, cowboy.
George tips his hat. Evening. Moni gives him goo-goo eyes.
You looking for a date?
George shakes his head no. He glides past them.
Good.
The girls laugh hysterically. Tashonda turns to Moni.
Tashonda. Moni, tell me we didn't just see a cowboy. Moni. All right, we didn't just see a cowboy.
She laughs.
We just seen a fool.
The girls laugh louder.
Tashonda. Oh, shoot. Help me, Jesus.
George looks over his shoulder at them. They hold on to each other as they wobble down the road. He shakes his head. Exterior, grocery store, Detroit, day. Loud rap music comes from an empty car parked at the curb. George walks down the sidewalk toward the store. A teen thug exits the store and walks leisurely to the parked car. George pauses as he opens the door to the store. He turns toward the car. Across the street, parked at the curb, a beat-up pickup truck with a price painted on the windshield, $750. George turns back toward the store and goes in. Interior, grocery store, meat counter, day. Behind the counter, Max, a plump 50-year-old butcher, he greets George with a smile. Max,
I haven't seen you around in a while. How you been?
George,
oh, I'm all right. What can I get for you?
George looks into the meat counter. Cheeses, beef, pork, chicken, lunch meats. Bologna priced $1.98 a pound. George,
I'll take a pound of that bologna. Slice it thin.
Max,
1 pound of thin sliced bologna coming right up.
Max takes the bologna to the meat shaver. George finds the beef tongue inside the meat counter. George,
do people really buy that?
Max wraps George's order.
What's that?
Max's eyes trace George's gaze to the beef tongue. He laughs.
Of course they do. I wouldn't sell it if they didn't.
George's face shrivels.
There's nothing wrong with it. That is, if you don't mind the calories or clogging up your arteries with cholesterol, I'd never touch it.
He motions to his waistline.
Can't afford to. Too much fat in it. It'll plump you right up.
Max laughs. George shudders with the creeps.
Well, I guess there's no accounting for taste.
Yep, to each his own.
Max writes the price on the wrapped bologna, places it on top of the counter.
So, how's the music world been treating you? Good, I hope?
Well, no, not really. No one seems to like country music anymore.
Ah, taste again. Well, if it's any comfort to you, I still like it. You've just got to build up a clientele. Or better yet, go somewhere where they'll appreciate you. You can't live on bologna forever.
George nods in agreement. He takes the package of bologna. Thanks, Max.
Yep, you have yourself a good one.
George turns. Max wipes down the counter with a rag. Interior, cocktail lounge, Detroit, night, dimly lit. No customers at the bar. No customers in the room at all. George and Phyllis stand together on the dance floor engaged in conversation. Dance floor. George shakes his head, looks let down.
Phyllis, I'm sorry.
George turns away. Phyllis watches him head toward the door.
Hey, George.
He turns back toward her.
Give me a call in a few weeks. We'll see how things are then.
George nods. He continues toward the door. Phyllis drops a quarter in the jukebox. She searches through the music selections available. Exterior cocktail bar, night. George walks down the sidewalk. Cars drive past him. Rap music flows out from their open windows. A man leans back on a building. He raises a 40-ounce beer to his lips, drinks. George passes him by. Exterior, city street, Detroit, night. George walks down an empty sidewalk. Across the street is a big cardboard box in an open field. A homeless man sticks his head out from the box. He notices George. Homeless man.
Hey, my brother!
George ignores him, keeps moving. The homeless man scowls. Homeless man.
Hey, cowboy! Could you spare brother out with some spare change?
George lifts his arms.
I'm all tapped out.
The homeless man frowns. He moves back into the box. It wiggles with movement as he settles back in. Homeless man, off screen.
Yeah, you look tapped out. Why don't you get a job?
George shakes his head. Exterior, apartment, Detroit, night. A tall brick building with many windows. George looks up at a window and takes a deep breath. He goes inside. Interior, George's apartment, night. The door opens. George steps into the small room furnished with cheap hotel furniture. He sets his keys on a hook by the door. Muffled off-screen conversation. A woman's laughter. It has George's attention. He quietly sneaks toward a closed door. He pushes it open. Bedroom. Trisha, early 20s, sits on the bed, dressed in a robe. Scott, 20s, comfy as can be, stretched out on the bed in a pair of jeans. George.
Well, would you look at this? The two of you playing house in my apartment.
Tricia jumps up from the bed. George storms towards Scott. He stops suddenly, throws his arm up in the air.
You know what? She ain't worth it.
Tricia follows behind George. He turns back into her.
Tricia, what are you doing home?
Seeing you for who you really are.
He turns to Scott.
You really want her back?
Scott lifts his shirt from the floor, ready to leave.
She's all yours, buddy. In fact, you can have it all. I'm done with all of it.
George moves to the closet, opens the door. He takes a suitcase from inside. Scott leaves the room in a hurry. Tricia stands behind George.
Baby, what are you doing?
George ignores her. He opens the suitcase.
You know I didn't mean it.
You didn't mean it?
She clings to him. George lifts an armful of hanging clothes from the pole.
I was lonely, George. You weren't here. You weren't here.
I trusted you, Tricia. I was at work, making money to take care of you.
George folds his clothing in half and crams them into the suitcase.
Don't do this, George. I love you.
George looks her in the face, finds only desperation. He turns back to his suitcase and locks it down. Clothes stick out of the sides. George